The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hold hands and close your eyes. It's 12:30, and you're listening to the Ghost Story Pass.
Welcome to the Ghost Story, guys. I'm Brennan Storr.
I'm Ian Gibbs.
And this is a show where we talk about spooks, specters, and all the other things watching us from the shadows beyond the campfire. Some conversations only make sense after the sun has set, and this is most definitely one. Thanks for tuning in. This is episode number 50. And we're coming to you from that tiny mountain cabin you dream about, but can never quite reach. How you doing, Ian?
Better than I have been, Brennan. How are you?
No, I'm pretty good. We're back.
We're back.
Back from our vacation. Yay! We have been gone. We've actually been out of the studio for almost a month.
I know, and I think I saw you once during that time.
I think it was twice. I think we went for lunch. And
oh,
then
we
hung out a couple times.
Yeah. You're
but,
right.
But yes, we've been...
Certainly not in the studio, though.
No,
nowhere near a microphone.
No. No, we've been away, and it's been... nice to have a break. Oh, well, I should say I've had a break. You have not had... Well, you've had a break, but it's not been the same.
No.
And this has actually been something you've been dealing with for a while.
Yeah.
But you've just sort of not talked about it on the show.
And I haven't really been able to deal with it because I didn't really know what was going on.
Of course, right? Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, okay, so you know in the movie Kindergarten Cop where the kids are like, it's a tumor, and Arnold's like, it's not a tumor.
I do, yes.
Yeah, well, mine turns out it actually is a tumor.
I shouldn't laugh at that. I shouldn't laugh, but I'm going to.
So, yeah, there's a condition called acromegaly, and you know, if any of this sounds familiar to you, go and get it checked out, because I didn't, and I didn't know any better. For years, 10 years at least, I've had problems with high blood pressure, swelling the joints. I had to get a CPAP machine. I had to have carpal tunnel surgery, all of these things, and nobody ever put it together. And it was actually my dear sainted mother, who was a retired nurse in Calgary, who, when I was in Calgary in August, said, you know, I think that's acromegaly. And I'm like, acro what?
So, never met her.
No. So, yeah, right. So when I Googled it, yeah, I had literally every symptom. So went back to my doctor, told her what I thought, and she said, let's get some tests done. And the biggest test they do is basically for growth hormone.
Right.
Normal growth hormone is in an adult is between 64 and 200 is the level. Mine was 948.
Okay.
Yeah.
Always an overachiever.
Always an overachiever.
Ian Tryhard Gibbs.
So she sent me for an MRI and all these other things, and turns out, yes, I have a tumor on my pituitary gland, which pumps out extra large amounts of extra growth hormone, which is what is the root of literally every other health problem I've been experiencing for 10 years.
Wow. But being an asshole is still you.
Well, that's all me.
That's fair. Okay.
That's just... although after surgery, that may change.
Oh, I hope not.
I'll be like super mellow, and it'll be like having a lobotomy in the 50s. So I'll be having some light brain surgery.
Yes.
I call it light because they don't actually crack open my skull, so I consider that light.
No, you were saying they go in through the, they punch through the sinus?
Yeah, they go up your nose, punch through the sinus, and then they try and remove the tumor that way. The biggest concern afterwards is brain fluid leaking out of your nose.
Well, that is a concern. I like my brain fluid exactly where it is.
Right? So I can't pick anything up over 5 pounds for a month. A lot of things are over 5 pounds.
Most things I enjoy are over 5 pounds.
So it's going to be an interesting
no kidding.
Interesting time. So right now, though, in December, I got my very first shot of a very expensive drug.
Yeah, you were saying it's like $2,600 a shot?
Yeah. I'm really grateful because the cancer agency covers that because it is a tumor drug.
Right.
So it's covered. But I get it once a month, and within 3 days... 3 days of getting this first shot, my blood pressure went to optimum. My blood sugar went to optimum. All the other symptoms have started going away. My hands are shrinking. The fingers, like this finger is
becoming, holy shit.
Isn't that wild?
That is wild.
So it's incredible. And in one shot, my growth hormone cut in half. It's now in the 450s instead of the 950s.
God damn.
Yeah.
Well, that is great.
Only took me 10 years to figure it out.
Well, that's fine.
So I'm sharing it for two reasons. One is, seriously, every time I go onto this support group I'm in on Facebook, the comments are continually, I wish I'd known sooner.
Yes.
I wish I knew sooner. Because the damage can be undone, but it'll never be completely undone with me.
Right.
So that's really important for people to know. So if you know of this, other symptoms include like your jaw keeps growing, your shoes don't fit anymore, and maybe your favorite hat doesn't fit, because the only parts of your body that still grow as an adult are your skull, your jaw, your hands, your feet, this sorts of things. So keep that in mind. And the other reason was if I have surgery, I may be skipping out on a couple of episodes as I stop brain fluid from leaking out of my head.
Yeah, because I don't want that shit on microphones.
No, gross.
Boo.
It's so crusty.
Keep your gross illness away from my equipment.
But I also think, you know, it's just a good thing to know. And I think it's a good excuse. Why are you not on the episode, Ian? I had brain surgery.
Oh, I'll miss the brain surgery.
What a whiner.
Pussy.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yes.
Sort of a public service announcement.
Yeah, no, I'm happy you finally shared that with everyone.
Yeah.
Of course, as I said, we've talked about this for quite a bit now for the last few months.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. And God bless my mom.
Yes, absolutely. That's lucky, man. Because you said you have someone in your family who had this condition go undiagnosed.
Yeah.
And she was... unintelligible.
Yeah, no, her tongue grew so big,
right,
that she could no longer keep it in her mouth.
Oh my God.
And her jaw grew so big, she couldn't really talk anymore. This was back in the sort of the 60s. It was an aunt of my mom's, older aunt.
Which isn't that far away from, like, you got ghosts in your blood, do cocaine about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there wasn't anything they could do about it back then.
Of course.
Right? I mean, that's the thing. There was really not a lot they could do. It's still a very, very rare condition. Only 6,000 people in Canada have it.
Huh.
That's not many.
No.
So, hence why the drugs are so expensive.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
But it is out there. People do have it. And yeah, so there you go.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Thank you for listening.
And
I enjoy the mockery.
I have not yet begun to mock.
Oh, I know.
Just wait till you're back from your surgery. So how was being neutered, Ian?
How was your happy housewife surgery?
That's right.
The old lobotomy ice pick.
And for our listeners out there, if Ian does have to miss an episode or two in the coming months, don't worry about it. We'll still keep releasing. We have a contingency plan in place.
We do.
We've talked about it, and
yeah,
it's all good. So not to worry. Ian will be okay, and the show will still be here.
Yeah. Even if I die in surgery?
Yeah.
Oh, you'll have a special tribute episode.
I get the memoriam boost.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
We may have way more downloads.
Now I'm going to start thinking about paying off the surgeon. just slip. It's fine.
Here, Ian, can you sign these 25 shirts? No, no reason.
I guess now I feel like I shouldn't really talk about my break because I wasn't dealing with anything like this.
I'm sorry.
How was your break, Brennan? Well, I played a lot of pinball.
Yeah, pretty much the same.
Yeah, no, it was my life just, yeah, I'm unemployed now. That's fun.
Wow.
So that kind of snuck up on me.
How's that going?
It's only been a week.
Okay.
So I've got a couple things on the horizon.
Right.
You know, I'm not totally without a plan.
Right.
But it's not a huge surprise, but it was coming. I just didn't know when it was coming.
Right.
So it's as I said, my last day was the 15th of the month. So it's fine.
Yeah.
I'll figure something out. And in the, as I said,
you always do.
That's it.
You kind of land on your feet like a yeah, cat.
I'm very lucky that way.
Very resilient.
I'm not going to worry too much about it. But apart from that, my break was spent, playing pinball, watching a lot of movies.
Okay, pretty much the same.
Yeah, no,
more
nothing.
Doctors involved. But other than that,
that's it. Well, I made a not a resolution really, but once we started the break, I decided I am going to let myself enjoy the things I enjoy.
You're going to play.
I'm going to play.
Good.
Because my anxiety is such
yeah,
that when I'm not working, it's hard for me to enjoy anything because all I can think about is the fact that I'm not working.
I should be working.
Yes.
Yeah.
So after we hit the break, once the last episode was up, the Christmas episode was up, I thought, no. And so I sat down, and I have seen, since the break, I would say I've seen almost 50 movies.
Wow.
Yeah, something like that.
That's a lot of movies, my friend. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
That level of dedication is hard to find.
Oh, man. I found this app called Letterboxd.
Right.
And it lets you assemble. It's a hugely comprehensive thing, and you can make a list of all the movies you've seen.
I'm horrified to ask.
Oh, so I did this.
Yeah.
And at the time, I compiled the list. And, of course, some of these were going back to when I'm in high school. Right. You know, a lot of direct-to-video stuff
is yeah.
a little hazy.
Yeah.
But it was about 2,900... And 70.
Wow.
And by the time I finished compiling the list, well, I'm now over 3,000.
Wow.
Yeah, I watched Hitchcock's Shadow of a Doubt for 3,000.
That's amazing.
So so I'm, I don't have a description for this.
No.
It's just
I saw a couple movies over the break.
Well, we'll talk about those in the water cooler.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
I was, and two of them had the same actor in very different roles.
Ooh, I'm interested.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Of course, the water cooler episode is for patrons.
Yeah.
You can support us at patreon.com/ghoststoryguys.
Yeah.
$5 tier and above gets you access to all of our water cooler episodes, bonus material. Actually, we've got Luke is almost ready to produce his first ever Luke lore.
Excellent.
Which every month Luke is going to do a deep dive into a different subject, mm-hmm. and you will be hearing his voice.
Very cool.
And actually, everyone will be hearing his voice next week.
That's right.
We're going to have the big group record. But anyways, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
We're so happy to be back. So we are back. It is episode 50. This is the beginning of our third year of the Ghost Story Guys.
Wow.
And we thought, finally, it was time to do this thing we talked about for a long time. We're going to do the Mythical Dream episode.
Which is probably 2 years in the making.
It absolutely is 2 years, because some of the emails we got were from 2017.
Oh, you went mining.
I did, yes.
Excellent.
And so people have been sending us their precognitive dreams, or sometimes we think maybe haunted dreams or past life dreams for the better part of 2 years since we've been doing the show.
Yeah.
And so this episode, we're going to be sharing those stories and talking
finally
about them. Yes. And there's one that I may have found, maybe a past life dream that I may have found a real life analog for.
That's amazing.
So we're going to be getting into that soon. Just like we did last year on our Back from the Break episode, we're going to be playing some Hexagram on this week's show. Their new album, Crystal Lake, just dropped just before the new year.
Yep.
And it's a fantastic album.
Yeah, it is. It's
now,
really good.
I'm a little biased because I'm on it. If you listen to the first track, it's a little, I call it a little sound scene. That sort of sets the mood, and I made that, and they decided to incorporate it.
Nice!
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
You'll hear this, this sounds like a child's voice. It's actually me. I pitch shifted my voice. I'm very, very pleased with myself
about
creepy.
This. That's creepy.
Okay. I know, right?
Yeah.
But yes, the album is Crystal Lake. It's from Hexagram. You can find that on Bandcamp at Hexagram with two X's, not three, .bandcamp.com, and on all the major streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Google Music. We're going to be sharing two songs today. The first you'll be hearing in the bumpers, and that's the title track, Crystal Lake. And then in the outro, we'll be playing the final track, There Are No Answers. Coming up after the break, the Mythical Dream episode. Welcome back. As we said before the break, this is finally our Mythical Dream episode.
Mythical Dreams.
And, you know, it's actually been a really weird week for dreams in my house.
Oh, okay.
My wife, actually, Nikki, she woke up and she had a dream that someone in her family was very, very ill.
Right.
So she woke up and it really upset her. And I said, well, tell you what, maybe give them a call. I don't think they're ill.
Yeah.
But maybe give them a call. Just check in with them because she hasn't talked to this person in a long time. And they're not ill, but they are going through a very hard time.
Oh.
And so and have been for maybe about a couple weeks now.
Okay.
So it was, you know.
She picked up on the energy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And checked in with her. And
it doesn't mean physically ill.
No, that's
right? Like it can mean spiritually ill, emotionally ill. Like we're so quick to just assign they're really, really ill. And that means physical, but it doesn't.
No, that's it. I think because we take things so literally.
We do.
But I don't think dreams work that way.
No.
I think, because I know there are people who think dreams are only you sorting through the events of the past day.
Yeah.
And there are those dreams.
And some of them are.
Absolutely. Yeah. I watched, during the break, I watched of the many films I watched, I watched the entire Hatchet series.
Okay.
And those are ultra-violent horror comedies.
Of course they are.
Where a supernatural swamp man rips people in half.
Right.
Like literally in one scene, rips someone in half. And consequently, I had a couple really horribly violent dreams.
I can't imagine why.
No, Kelmister.
So weird, yeah.
But I don't think that someone was coming for me. I think it was just, my brain is trying to deal with all this extreme imagery.
I have that sometimes with books. Like I've read books where I'm really into the story. I'm really connecting with the characters. And I always read before bed.
Right.
And I'll read and then I'll be like, okay, I got to go to sleep. And then I have the worst sleep. Because my brain can't stop processing the characters and what's happening to them, and so I get it. You or something like what you're describing, something really violent or upsetting or disturbing, and your brain sort of is on tick over going, wait, what did we just see? Like, how does that just work?
And more importantly, why are you subjecting me to this, bastard?
Why are you trying to give me PTSD? Yeah.
Exactly.
I get it.
But the dreams we're going to be sharing have all come from our listeners.
Yeah.
Some of which, as we mentioned again before the break, go back is almost 2 years.
Yeah.
So
embarrassing.
Thank you to everyone who wrote in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to start with a story from Charles. Charles says, firstly, I suffer from sleep paralysis, getting an episode or two a few times a year. The other day I had two back-to-back. I mention this so you understand that I know what sleep paralysis is. On two different occasions, I felt I was held down, and both times they woke me up, but when I woke, it still felt like something was pushing my shoulders and head into the bed. When I was little, I lived in a house close to the Ohio River. I don't know if I had some power or my house felt off. It was tense, and dogs would randomly start barking at the floor or the vents or nothing at all. Shortly after, something bad would happen, always to my cousin. She'd fall off her bike, get her lip split open, trip. It always led to an injury of some kind. I'm just going to jump in and say that I do think the proximity of the river has some importance.
100%.
Because I have family in Revelstoke who live on the river, and I think that may be why I can never sleep in their house.
Right.
Because it is a wild and woolly night every time.
Yeah,
and
there's power there.
So getting back to Charles' story, he says, I personally never felt threatened, but there was one time that to this day still freaks me out. It was the middle of the night, and I was asleep on the couch next to my mom. My aunt was also in the room, having fallen asleep on the love seat. I woke up while they were still sleeping. Everything looked normal, everything looked right, except I felt odd. Then these two kids showed up, a few years younger than me. I was around 10. I don't remember much about what they were wearing, but I remember they were young. We played in my room with Legos and blocks, and then I remember just waking up on the couch. I don't know if it was just a dream, but I never had another so vivid at that age. I've also never ever had a dream where I remembered how it started, and when I woke up, literally everything and everyone in the house was like it was when I woke up in the dream. Have you ever heard of ghosts communicating through dreams? Sure.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Repeatedly.
Yeah. Lastly, this is the experience that scared me the most. I was around 15, living in an apartment building in a completely different city than where the other dreams happened. I was home alone, so I was goofing off. I got the idea that I should try and play with magic. Great idea.
Yeah.
So I looked up spells and all that jazz online. Harmless stuff I knew probably wouldn't work. I literally scrolled through these spells, doing my best to cast each one. Trying to get the words right, the whole nine yards, nothing happened. But at some point during the night, I woke up into the pitch blackness of my room feeling anxious. Out of the corner of my eye in the doorway of my room, I saw something. A guy of average size, lit slightly by the light from the hall. I could make out some facial hair, but everything else was shrouded in shadows. Instantly, I was petrified. I looked again, and he was gone, but the fear still gripped me like the jaws of life. He, it, didn't hurt me, didn't come towards me, didn't make a fuss, but something about him was wrong. Scary, like you were looking at a nightmare. I didn't go back to sleep. I turned on all the lights and curled up on the couch. Do you think I accidentally opened up some door, or inadvertently gave off enough energy for it to manifest? And yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I emailed him back and said, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Anytime you're opening a door of any kind, saying spells, playing with a Ouija board, anything like that, you've got to be prepared for what may come running down the hall.
Yeah, because I don't think it's even necessarily the power of the spell or the Ouija board.
No.
It's you opening up.
100%. And it's, again, we've talked about this before, intention.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it reminded me of a story, which I think I've mentioned on the show before, but I'll say again for people who haven't heard the back catalog, because I can't for the life of me remember where I told it. But when I was a kid, my grandmother would look after us.
Right.
Because my mom was working and my dad wasn't around. And she loved tabloids. So she would buy the Star and the Inquirer leave them around the house.
Right.
And so I, at a very young age, developed my finely honed Italian sense of gossip.
And news.
And news, yes. And scantily clad ladies, but that's another thing entirely. Lonnie Anderson wore what?
All right. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I remember her.
But anyway, so in one of these things one time, I think I was nine or 10, there was a thing about... drawing power from the earth. You know, is your energy low?
Right.
And now, of course, I was 9 or 10. My energy was not low, but this sounded like superhero stuff.
Right.
And that sounded pretty cool.
Right.
So they described an exercise you could do, which would give you the energy.
Yeah.
You know, and so I tried it. And of course, nothing happened. But then when I went to bed that night, I felt rooted to the spot. And as I was laying in bed, it was like 8:30. It wasn't late. I remember because I could see the... lights on my little digital alarm clock.
Right.
I saw in the darkness what looked like two bats flying above my bed.
Oh,
just
boy.
Swirling back and forth.
Yeah.
And I thought bats had gotten into my room.
Right.
So I tried to call out for my mom to say, hey, you know, bats.
Yeah, come deal with it, mom.
Yeah, hey. I don't know. I'm 9. What the hell am I going to do? But I couldn't move.
Hmm.
And as I lay there watching these things swirl above me, they dove down through my chest, and I remember feeling like electricity shot through my body.
Uh-oh.
And then I passed out.
Yikes.
And now I'm not sure if this timeline matches up, but I underwent a major personality change.
Right.
When I was a kid, from the great time from grade 4 to grade 5.
Right.
I went from being the goofy class clown, always talking, always got something to say, total silence.
Wow.
And I think that's where my depression started.
Hmm.
And interestingly enough, when I had my later experience as an adult with shadow people, my personality shifted for a shorter amount of time.
Yeah.
But it was, very similar. So
it's opening the door.
Yeah. Yeah. So Charles, I definitely think that that's what happened. Obviously, it turned out okay, but it's I think it's a good reminder. Just be careful. It's not a toy and you're not goofing around.
No.
And you can say, well, it's not real, but you know what, folks? One, you're listening to the wrong show, if that's your point of view. And two, no, we don't understand what it is.
No, nor do we pretend to.
No, but this shit's out there.
Yeah,
so be careful.
Yeah.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And then these three stories are similar.
Okay.
So we're going to tell them as a group before we talk about them.
The first one comes from Cherie. When we lived in Germany the second time, my father had a dream that really shook him. He said that he was at church and his family was crying. He felt that something had happened to his father. Later that day, his company commander came to him to say his family had contacted the U.S. Army Family Affairs. His father had passed away of a heart attack, and he needed to come back to the U.S. There was no way for my father to know that his dad was rushed to the hospital and that he died all the way overseas. This next one's from Kevin. Back in 2003, my father was sick with cancer. We all knew it wasn't looking good, so the family started making trips to see him one last time. My two nieces came down from Ontario to see him before he got really sick, and they had a visit with him for about a week, and then went home. Last week, my oldest niece was telling me that she knew he had passed before she got the phone call. She remembers having a dream in which she was in my father's kitchen. Elvis was playing on the radio, and my dad was coming upstairs from the basement. She said he walked over, gave her a hug and a kiss, and told her he loved her very much. He then walked down the hallway towards the front door. When he opened it, she said it was really bright outside, almost white. He turned to her and said he had to go now, but to always remember how much he loved her. He then walked out the door, and she woke up. As she woke up, she said her phone was ringing, and it was us, calling to say that he'd passed.
That's actually not uncommon.
Yeah.
Again, we've got this thing in modern society, we don't talk about this stuff as much. But in the book Psychical Phenomena in the War, which we took this bonus episode 6 from, there's a whole chapter on this.
Yeah.
A whole chapter full of people who knew their loved ones had died in the war and knew on the day it happened, not the day they got the message.
Right. And so, I've heard this repeatedly from people.
Of course, yeah. I mean, we even talked about it a little bit on our last episode.
Yeah.
And I think there's one more.
Yeah, the last one's from Lee. In my late 30s, my husband started to lose weight without reason. He is high energy, and I always feel as though it's my job to calm his fears and not inflate them. He definitely has a guardian angel. In a dream, my grandmother came to me. She was forceful and unyielding, telling me that my husband was dying, and I awoke with tears in my eyes. I remember laying in bed, watching him dress and seeing his weight loss differently. Within days, he was diagnosed as being in the very early stages of cancer. It is many years past, but I'm so grateful for the message that I needed to hear.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, I think it's another case of just listen.
Yeah.
You know, pay attention.
Pay attention.
I think even if you want to look at this from the perspective of, if you want to dismiss the supernatural element, this is your subconscious saying something is wrong. You're noticing something, but consciously you're not seeing it the right way. Although, I mean, I do think there is a paranormal element to these.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise I wouldn't be here. I think even if you want to discount that because it makes you uncomfortable, you still need to acknowledge your subconscious is seeing this and telling you to go look into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
This next story is from Lindsay. On a previous episode, she shared other stories with us, but we've been saving this one for the dream episode. She says, "Greetings from the bizarre wild west of the American Southeast, Florida. Anyway, I know you guys joke about doing a dream episode eventually, which happens to be where the bulk of my supernatural experiences come from. I've been having dreams about ghosts and demons for close to 10 years now, including a particularly vivid one where I dreamt I was possessed by a demon that forced me to drive to my parents' house with the intent to harm them and other awful things. And that story is one we have shared on the show before. A lot of these dreams are very similar. I'm alone in my house, often my daughter's room, when an oppressive presence makes itself known. Usually this is marked by increased pressure in my chest and inner ear, and something in the room around me being moved aggressively, doors slamming, furniture shaking, etc. It tends to be the fear that wakes me up. In my dreams, I used to try praying. I don't identify as Christian now, but did when growing up in a Christian household. Which would usually have little to no effect, except once when I was being suffocated. I would never see anything corporeal in these dreams, except for one exception, where a spirit manifested itself as a copy of me in my bedroom. I calmly told it to go away, this was my house, and it wasn't allowed. I didn't have any more ghost/demon dreams for a long time after that. Pagans might say that this time of year, we receive this in winter, is more spiritually active, that the extended hours of darkness are a manifestation of the veil thinning. Who knows? In the past 3 weeks or so, I've had an uptick in these dreams. One started with dreaming about waking up from my nap, to the sensation of my hair being lifted and tugged by unseen hands. In my dreams, this feeling wakes me up, and I look down the hall to see my bathroom light flicking on and off. What makes this dream particularly interesting is that just a few days later, I dreamt that my late grandfather, who passed away 10 years ago and whom I've never dreamt about ever, materialized in my house with a big grin on his face. He was a real prankster when he was alive, so I can't help but wonder if he thought giving me a little spook from the other side would be funny. The most recent dream, however, is a real doozy. I dreamt that me, my daughter, a good friend, and her young son were all hanging out in my room together. The bed was suddenly pushed very violently, and the closet door slammed open, the familiar, sickly feeling of panic and terror gripping my gut. Then something very unusual happened for me. My own voice spoke to me in my head. "I'm dreaming," it said. Suddenly that fear became anger at this thing invading my home and trying to scare me. So I grabbed both the children, closed my eyes, and used my mind to build a tower around us, surrounded by crystal spikes. Monstrous shadow figures impaled themselves on these spikes trying to reach us, and an angel appeared with a sword in its hand. I woke up after this feeling calm and peaceful and wondering what the hell that was all about. Lindsay also shared one more dream with us. You know how in some dreams you can sort of see or be aware of yourself doing something while not fully being in your body? Like you kind of view yourself halfway out of your body? That happened in this dream, except it wasn't my body. In real life, I have blonde hair, blue eyes, and an angular face. In my dream, I had another face entirely. Dark eyes, dark hair, a heart-shaped face, and very pale skin. I was a doctor in Eastern Europe during some kind of military conflict. The hospital where I worked was one of the last buildings with people in it, and I worked the children's ward. I had to leave, soldiers were coming, and somehow I knew they'd kill me, possibly from my ethnicity or religious background. The children were upset, but I told them they'd have a better chance of surviving if I wasn't around. The dream then skipped to me being in hiding, and someone informing me of villages of Muslim minorities being bombed. I started sobbing and crying out in Russian. I don't speak Russian. I go back to the town I'd been working in to check the hospital for survivors. When I get to the children's ward, the children are all gone, and one bed is full of blood. I leave the hospital and stumble through the bombed-out town. The sky is full of dark clouds, and there are fires burning around me. Things to note about this, I'm not particularly well-versed in Eastern European history. I never studied it in depth at school. I don't watch war movies. They have always made me feel anxious and sad. I don't speak Russian. My family has no Eastern European lineage. I read a book over a year ago set in Chechnya, but to me it seems unlikely for something so far back to have influenced a dream in such a unique and powerful way. So I had a look into this just because I was curious. And now, you know, if you've had some education on Eastern Europe, it's possible that, Lindsay, that you do this. And I did try and get a hold of Lindsay, but I haven't heard back. I found that during the war in Yugoslavia in 1993, when it was still Yugoslavia, there was a hospital called the Drin Hospital. It was just outside the town of Fojnica. And apparently there was a ward full of people with sort of mental handicaps and children.
Right.
The doctors left, all of them.
Oh, wow.
They abandoned the kids there.
Jesus.
And then, of course, during that same conflict, because Lindsay talks about hearing that Muslim villages were being bombed. Well, of course, that happened in Bosnia.
That was the ethnic cleansing.
They were called the Bosniak people, and their villages were bombed. So, I mean, I don't know how old Lindsay is. 1993 is, I guess, 25 years ago. But it's interesting that, you know, she had these dreams.
Wow.
And so, Lindsay, if that's what I found. Thank you for sending those in.
Powerful.
Powerful stuff. Yeah. Absolutely.
Our next dream comes from Winter. I'm not actually sure if what I experienced is a dream, although it definitely starts that way. I tend to forget about how truly awful it is because it happens so rarely. I don't usually remember the start of the dream, but at some point it starts going wrong. Everything takes on a sinister air and slowly morphs into this horrifying living nightmare. It changes from an actual dream to me being inside the dream in a visual auditory sense, but I can feel the real world physically. I just can't escape the dream and make it back to reality. This happened last night, and it was worse than any other experience I've ever had. I can't remember how I got there, but I was in a dark, dank cottage, and I could hear something breathing outside the window. It sounded huge and threatening, and I just knew it was waiting for me to step all the way into its world so it could have me. Since I'm still able to feel the physical world, I can feel the bedposts, even though I can't see anything that is in my actual bedroom. I was holding onto my bed and screaming for my husband, but my voice was so tinny and far away I knew he wouldn't hear it. At this point, I'm teetering on the edge between the real world and the dream version. I can feel my bed, but I'm still looking at the window and listening to the breathing, desperately trying to wake up before it's too late. Then something happens that breaks me out of it, and I wake up, huddling at the top of my bed frame, crying hysterically. I can't really put it into words how terrifying it is. It's hard to explain since a lot of what I feel and experience is intuitive, but it's like nothing else I've ever experienced. I've had sleep paralysis, which is also pretty frightening, and PTSD nightmares, but these dreams are so different, and I've never heard of anyone else having similar episodes. It's almost like a strange mix of lucid dreaming and a nightmare. I know it's a dream, but I have no control over anything, and it's extremely sinister. I'm curious if anyone else has similar dreams or if y'all have any idea what it could be.
And if you've had a similar dream, let us know. Send us an email at ghostguys@gmail.com.
That's terrifying,
though. That really is. And is actually similar to something that happened to a friend of mine. Hmm. And I've told the story on the show before, but I'm going to mention it again here. He had a dream where he was being chased. He had a dream where he was back in his grandparents' house.
Right.
And he was being chased by a banshee of some kind of thing that was screeching at him.
Right.
And he knew he was asleep because he could see, he was aware of his bedroom.
Right.
But he was also aware of this other thing happening and he couldn't stop it from happening.
Right.
And this thing was chasing him. I think it finally cornered him and really started howling at him. And finally he woke up, but his ears were ringing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oof.
I know, right?
That's crazy. Does he have an ex-wife?
He does not.
Okay.
He does not.
Oh, there goes that theory.
Nice. And I, funny enough, the idea of something huge outside the window is sort of waiting.
Yeah, yeah.
That happened to me during this little weird interlude of dreams this past week where... In the dream, I'm in my house, not my apartment, but
yeah,
a house somewhere with my wife, and she mentions that the window is open. And
right.
In the dream, I think, okay, well, I'll close it. Because it's not an immediate threat. It's not like, oh shit, there's something coming.
Right.
It's just this idea that having this open is dangerous.
Right.
As I get to the window, this huge thing just launches itself through the window and rushes at me.
Jeez.
Yeah, and I woke up, and that was it. So I don't know.
That's not cool.
No, it was not a pleasant dream. So, Winter, I'm right there with you. This next is a short one. This is from Vivian. She says, I sleep talk. My husband will tell you that there have been times where I've shaken him awake and spoken nonsensical jargon to him. Every once in a while, I'd point to the ceiling, turn my head towards him saying, you don't see it? It's right there. And then I'd roll over and fall back asleep. One of the most interesting times is right before my parents' visit. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and speak to him in Chinese. Those are always fun. He'd ask me about it the next morning, and because I was dreaming the whole thing, I would have no recollection or memory of ever shaking him awake and speaking to him in either English or Chinese.
Oh, wow.
And I remember that happened.
The poor guy.
One night I was sitting in the living room watching a movie, and I heard Nikki laughing in the bedroom, and she was asleep.
Weird.
And yeah, you go into a darkened room where you hear a woman laughing in the corner. Not good.
No.
Not good.
No. There's so many jokes about Nikki laughing in the bedroom.
Where do I hit you to make the tumor worse?
God. No, don't turn loose.
All right. And this next one is from Sarah. From 16 to 24, I was an extreme atheist that didn't believe in anything and scoffed at the idea of an afterlife or anything paranormal. I got out of being an atheist and being more of a theist, honestly, from your podcast, which got me onto a bunch of other shows that gave credible stories about unexplainable things, and I realized I was discounting things without thinking about it in fear of looking weird or something. That being said, I've had many experiences with dreams and weird coincidences that I figured I would share. The first one I will share is from when I was 14 or 15. My great-great-auntie Edna had been declining in her health with dementia, but she was still essentially a second grandma to my sister and I. She was hilariously sassy and was never able to have children of her own, so when we were born, she wanted to treat us like dolls and dress us up, but would get annoyed when we acted like the annoying, slobbery crotch fruit we were. She also collected Cupid dolls and had them everywhere, which was slightly creepy.
Oh, yeah.
She also put me on a leash as a toddler and when we went out, so yes, I was a leash baby.
Me too!
She babysat us for my parents and was around us a lot growing up, and not to be biased, but I was her favorite because I was her first child she really got to bond with and was her surrogate baby she never got to have because her husband refused to have kids.
Mm.
Anyway, one night I had a strangely vivid dream about her where I was at her apartment. She was on her couch and offered me a cookie, which she always used to do behind my parents' back. I took it and we sat there and hung out. I don't remember the details, but remember it being quite vivid, like a visit. And then I woke up to my parents sitting in the kitchen quietly talking to each other. Wouldn't you know it, she had passed away that very night. I didn't tell anyone because I figured they wouldn't believe me or would think I was making it up for attention, but it always stuck out as weird, and that maybe she wanted to say one last goodbye to me, her favorite great-great-grandniece slash surrogate first baby. I haven't dreamed about her before that and haven't dreamed of her after that either. The next weird one was quite weird, and also around the same time as my first story. One night I dreamed of this whole sequence where I got some type of cancer. The dream was just me getting diagnosed, the whole leading up to the chemo. The dream ended with me getting dropped off in front of the hospital for chemo. That's when I woke up and had to quickly get ready for school. My bus came at 7 a.m. and we arrived way before school started, so I got to hang out with my friends for quite a while before the bell rang. This particular morning, I spent the bus ride thinking about the dream and listening to Green Day because it was 2006. But when I got to school, everything was normal. That was until this one boy, who I wasn't friends with but hung out with my friends, announced that today was his 10-year cancer-free anniversary.
Wow.
I never knew he had cancer and thought he was kidding at first, but he was serious. He had never brought it up before, at least around me, and the coincidence of the event was odd. I have no memory of dreaming about cancer again. The next weird one happened this past February and was super odd. I quit my grocery store job about a year before, after almost 10 years of grocery hell, and had worked at a jewelry store, but I took the school term off from the grocery to focus on my studies while I looked for a better second job. Good for you.
Uh-huh.
I had uploaded my resume to a job site where companies can also search for people. I was done with grocery stores and was looking for media jobs local to me because that's what my degree is for. I applied to a few radio stations and photography companies and didn't hear anything back from people for weeks. I gave up and promptly forgot this website. Fast forward a few months and I had a vivid dream where I was at the country grocer by my house. I was at a till with a young teenage boy cashier and I was trying to teach him how to use the till properly. The dream was awful because it was me essentially working in my dream, helping this boy ring up people, bag items into their carts, all while in my local store. While I worked in grocery stores for years, I hadn't been a cashier at that point for at least a few years, working deli and office jobs in them, so it was odd. I woke up tired and bitter about having to work in my dreams, but brushed it off and went to school. While at school, I was checking my emails, and to my surprise, I had an email from the job site where the manager of the very same country grocer had somehow seen my resume and emailed me asking if I wanted to be their new cashier supervisor. I would be in charge of training the cashiers and generally helping run the front end.
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of freaked out and declined the job. I couldn't work full-time while being in school, plus hell no. But the coincidence was super weird to me. Why would I dream so vividly about teaching someone the till at the very store that 12 hours later would offer me that same job? I also hadn't applied for any grocery jobs and hadn't been on the site for months. It was just weird. So those are pretty cool. Thank you for sharing those, Sarah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I sent her quite a long, scary email back because...
As you do.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. 9 times out of 10, Ian does the email because when I reply, I...
And it
you know,
takes him a day and a half.
Exactly, small novel. And so Sarah got one of my small novels and talking about dreams.
And we never heard from her again.
It's true, actually. Story of my life.
This is why I handle the email.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. I shouldn't be allowed to handle the Instagram.
Please don't talk to the public.
But no, it's fascinating for me because I sometimes wonder about dreams like that. You know,
right.
are we peeking in on a life not lived? Are you know, because I once had a dream where I had kids and I was living in my mother's house. You know,
Kiki and Nathaniel.
Fuck off.
Taking him to the arcade.
Let's not dwell on that.
That's one of my favorite stories about you now.
Yes, I know it is. And the short version is I had a dream where I was still living in Revelstoke, living in my mother's house. I had two kids.
A boy and a girl?
Fuck
I'm it. Just asking.
I don't remember. Oh, I just know.
Wow, nice dad.
That's why I'm not a dad. I'd be a bad one.
Where's the kids? Oh,
who?
Right. I was just at the grocery store.
No, I'm not hungry.
I bet you had them. Yeah.
No, that's why I don't have kids. I've known, it's one of the few things I've known about myself from the time I was a young man.
Really?
I never, ever want kids.
Wow.
Yep.
I couldn't wait.
Fair enough.
I'm super excited to be a dad.
Yeah. I've never in my life ever wanted kids. A couple times
wild.
I've been in relationships where we've had pregnancy scares.
And you're like, oh, sweet Jesus.
Terrifying. Terrifying. No, I genuinely don't. I barely want pets.
Wow.
I barely want pets.
Interesting.
I am the guy, if you got a problem, you call me, I come solve it, and then I leave.
You're the fixer.
I'm the fixer guy.
Not the long-term investment
nope.
guy.
Nope. That's not me.
That's awesome.
But anyways, so I had that dream where I had kids, and it was a long dream, full of, again, I don't remember the specifics, but I remember feeling like a long time had passed when I woke up. And I just wondered, are you looking at different timelines? You know, are you looking at a different life, you know, because we've talked about the idea that your consciousness is sort of like a sitting atop this diamond of possibilities.
Right.
And each face of the diamond is a different version of your life.
Right.
You know, and I wonder when things like this happen, you know, is that what she's seeing or is she just picking up ahead on the idea that this is a possible
Well, that someone's
outcome?
Energy is thinking about her and she's picking up on it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm in some ways, I think too, it can be, like your dream where you had kids, maybe that was your brain's way of experiencing that, of having that experience without actually having to have that experience.
Right. Oh, that could be.
And saying, oh, let's, what would it be like? And you're like, yeah, no.
No.
We're still happy not having kids.
Nope, 100%.
I remember having a dream as a kid where my brother and I were, and I must have been around 10 or 11, and he was 6 or 7, and we were trudging through basically what were storm sewers, and there was a lot of slush and snow, and we were both in snowsuits. And my brother ends up slipping and falling in, and he dies.
Oh, God.
And I pull him out of the sewer, and I am heartbroken. And we fought all the time. Like, we fought. And I was so nice to him for, like, a year after that.
Oh, wow.
He was freaked out because I kept, like, I'd give him candy and I'd offer him, you know. And he's like, what's wrong with you? What are you planning? Like, is this a long con?
That's right. You're building up to something.
But it broke me. It broke my heart in the dream that my brother had died, and all of a sudden he became that much more important to me. So what was that? Was that my brain trying to process that, or maybe realize loss, or
almost like making you appreciate what you had,
yeah,
in a way.
And it did. It did. We still fought like animals in our teen years. Like we had locks on our bedroom doors, and oh my god, we were awful.
Kids,
but now we're friends.
Teenagers are shitheads, and biology's hard to beat.
Next story is from Hannah. Now for my dream stories. Well, at least I hope they were both dreams. The first is when I lived in my old house, and I must not have been much older than about 6. I had a dream one night that I was in bed, and at the foot of my bed was a figure. My room was normal, but lit differently than it would have been at night, as if there was a lamp behind the figure. The figure had a black body that was just a shape, as if a person was wearing a shawl or a cape, and the face was black, and red patterns with short black horns, kind of like Darth Maul. This was probably in around the year 2000, so just after the release of The Phantom Menace, but I hadn't seen the film. I don't remember moving, but it's as if my view zoomed into this figure's face. It had a creepy smile, and it just kept getting closer. I don't know if I had this dream several times or just once, but even now, around 18 years later, it's crystal clear in my mind. The second story happened in November last year on a plane. I was flying back from Costa Rica, flying via Newark. I never travel well and get travel sick. And this was a long day, and it was the day before Thanksgiving, the worst time to be in a U.S. airport.
I can confirm
this.
Oh,
my Lord. We got on the 8-hour flight, and the pilot came on saying that the first half, 4 hours, would be very turbulent, with even the air stewards being unable to get out of their seats. Oh,
4 hours of that shit?
That's insane.
Oh, Lord.
Well, having been awake for like 20 hours, and after a few hours of flight, I somehow fell asleep. Just before I woke up, and I had what I assume was a dream. I was in my seat on the plane, but around 1 to 2 foot higher than my actual head or view. I would see all in front of me to the plane, but everything was normal. My view then floated down to my actual position. Then, as I woke up, I had a strange sensation. It can best be described as what I imagine someone coming out of a fit feels like, where I was both tensed and relaxed and zoned out for a few seconds before taking a big breath and being fully awake. I clearly didn't have a fit because I was in an airplane seat next to my mom, and she probably would have noticed.
And funny enough, I know someone who had a dream where they stepped outside their body, almost like they had, almost like an out-of-body experience.
Yeah. Wow.
He was a guy I know who, I mean, at the time was doing a lot of drugs. So, Hannah, I'm sure this isn't you, but he was doing a lot of drugs, and he passed out on the couch. And then he got up and thought, man, I don't feel as hungover as I thought I would.
Right.
Went to the window. He's looking out the window. It's daytime and, you know, whatever. Turns to look back towards the couch. He's still there.
Oh, my Lord.
And as soon as he saw that, he had this instant of panic and then woke up back in his body.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But it was almost like he jarred himself out of his consciousness.
Yeah.
Heavy drug use.
Wow.
And maybe the pure terror of being 4 hours in turbulence on a plane is what did it for Hannah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, or just feeling like she was going to die anyway.
Yeah, that too.
May as well prepare.
Yeah, this is what it's like. And this little story, actually, Hannah sent us some great stories for our emergency responders episode.
Okay, yeah.
And we missed this one, so I thought we would share this one now. It's not a dream, but it's just kind of a great story.
I thought I would finish this with an interesting work story. As you may know, I work for the ambulance service answering 999 calls. Haha, England. We recently got a request from a police to attend to support them. They had a call from someone who could hear a female screaming, but no one could access the house. not unusual for us to be called to people just shouting for help. Normally, it's an older person who's fallen and can't get up. The police attended the property, broke the door in, but the house fell silent and was empty.
Hoo-hoo.
Yikes.
Man.
I'm not sure I'd want to go in an empty house with a screaming voice inside.
No, that alone, you could not pay me to be a
nope.
cop.
No. Nope. No. I hear weird cop stories all the time.
Of course. Yes. I would love to do another emergency responder episode.
Yeah.
So if anyone out there, you have stories, send them to us.
ghostoryguys@gmail.com.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Crazy. This next story comes from Flo in D.C. When I was around 10 or 11 years old, I dreamed of an old guy wearing a white dhoti, which is a piece of traditional Indian clothing, and a white t-shirt. He walked with a cane. I did not know this old gentleman, but we were both standing in a field owned by my grandmother, and I felt like I knew him. When I walked up to him, he put his hands on my head and in our language said, "I finally got to meet you, my child. My blessing will always be with you." A couple years later, my mom visited from back home and brought a whole bunch of old pictures from her parents' house in the village. When I went through those pictures, I saw the same old gentleman in one of them, standing beside my grandmother. I asked my mother who he was, and she wanted to know why, so I told her about the dream. She just smiled with small tears in her eyes, saying it was her dad who died way before I was born. He never got to meet me, just my two older sisters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Now, these next dreams are actually kind of similar in nature, but from different situations. In the first part of the dream, I saw two little children. One was a girl, the other a boy. I knew they were related somehow, but not as siblings. Somehow I knew the girl was older than the boy, but by less than a year. All three of us were in a room together, and my mother came in, telling me to get the children ready. I did my best to help get ready for a party we were apparently going to have. I got the boy ready first, and after that he ran out of the room with his red truck. With the girl, I took the time to do her hair and dress, and when she came downstairs with me, she sat beside me on the chair and put her head on my lap. Then I woke up. A couple of days later, my middle sister told me she had surprise news for me, and right away, without thinking, I told her she was pregnant with a baby boy.
Wow.
She was surprised, as you may imagine. When I told her about my dream, she wanted to know who the girl was, if her baby was meant to be a boy. I said maybe our older sister was pregnant as well, but when we asked her, she denied it. However, 4 months later, we found out she was pregnant. When both babies were born, we found out my dream came true. The girl from my older sister was older, and the boy from my middle sister was younger. They were born exactly 4 months apart.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
In the next dream, my mother and I were in the living room, watching TV, and a baby was on the floor sleeping on top of blankets, with pillows surrounding him so he won't roll off. Suddenly, he woke up from his nap, and I called to him. He looked up to me with sleepy eyes, and I noticed he sort of looked like my nephew, my middle sister's son, who was about 2 at the time. But I knew it was not him. Something was different. A couple of weeks later, my sister again tells me she has surprise news. Right away, in my nonchalant voice, I said she was pregnant again, and with a boy. This time, she was not surprised at all. She just looked at me and said, "You and your baby dreams." She was about 3 weeks along, and then about 8 months later, the boy came.
Wow.
In this fourth dream, I felt as though I was not in my body. I was sleeping in a bed, and the baby crib was behind me, with a baby boy sleeping. I couldn't see the face of the baby. All of a sudden, the baby started to cry, and in a tired voice, I called my husband, asking him to take care of the baby so I could catch up on my sleep. I had already been up most of the night. When he picked up the baby boy, this time it looked like my niece, my older sister's child, who was about 3 or 4 at this time, but wasn't really her. Then I woke up. Lo and behold, 4 months later, we discovered my oldest sister was pregnant with a baby boy.
Holy cats.
That is crazy, Flo.
That is crazy.
What a gift.
That's awesome.
Don't ever have dreams about me, Flo. Don't ever have dreams about me, Flo.
Brennan and his children.
I am going to hit you. You're lucky I have short arms. I can't quite reach you over this
and
table.
And thankfully, you genetically won't pass them on.
That's true. That's true. That's a good thing. The fewer of me, the better. So thank you so much, Flo.
Very cool. Our next story is from Brett. I'm so excited that you guys are doing the dream episode. I'm including several dreams of mine, dreams that I still sit back and think about, like strange, distant, though fond memories. Over the years, I've been keeping a dream journal. And I've sent you some of my favorites, unedited, and written immediately upon waking. The first dream is this. I just had a most bizarre and wild dream. While my grandmother was out shopping, our beloved black shaggy dog went missing. He was extra special because he could say one word in English. Mama. Sort of a Scooby-Doo voice, if you can imagine, which I'm sure you can. So because I did not want my grandmother to worry about her missing dog, I had to uncover my black shaggy dog costume, naturally, to fool her for the time being. It was in a box inside the barn, and upon putting the garment on, I realized it was covered in ticks. but I didn't want my grandmother to be sad, so I wore it, tricked her as she pulled in the driveway, ran by her side as she walked up the lane to her house, and bark talking mama, and she never found out. I woke up before the real dog was ever found. The second dream was one of my most memorable, detailed dreams to date. Upon waking, I remembered every detail, as though I'd seen it in a movie that I watched way too much. Last night, my dream began with me sitting at my childhood countertop, paging through mythology, legends, and monster book. A strange Icelandic myth caught my attention. It was the story of a beast-like man trapped in the frozen earth, guarded by a dead-looking tree that was actually a gargoyle who would appear if one recited the correct incantation. As I read on and imagined more, I suddenly felt the sweeping motion of being pulled into the scene I was reading about. I looked around and found that I had to be in this enchanted Icelandic region where no mortal dared to step. And there was the twisted, haggard old tree. The incantation was whispered into my ear, perhaps by the wind, and I said it out loud, and the tree struggled its roots out from the gray and icy mud, spun around several times, transforming into a powerful-looking green lizard-like gargoyle. It told me I had the special honor of meeting his employer, and the mud under my feet began to feel softer, and it swirled up over my feet, finally pulling my entire body down to somewhere. I landed in a very large, very ornate palace corridor, dimly lit by candles, held by candelabras and finely dressed servants. One servant gently tapped my shoulder and she began to guide me up a flight of stairs into a long but wide and very decorated hallway. She pulled a curtain to the side, spoke nothing, but I knew she meant for me to enter alone. So I did, and she turned and walked back down the hall. I found myself in a bedroom with many doors, rather entrances, because there were no actual doors. Each doorframe had a Turkish rug or a jacquard curtain nailed to the top of it. There were paintings covering the gold-leafed walls. There was a huge vessel sitting on a golden side table, and it held the most gigantic gem-colored flowers I'd ever seen. Then I saw him. Or at least, I expected it to be him, whoever that was. He had red, wiry hair, and little tiny horns coming out of his forehead. He donned a striped tunic, and he was sleeping on a skinny little sofa, facing down with a Baja coat covering his face. Then he groaned a little, turning over and looking up at me. "She took you to the wrong room." I said nothing, just stood there wide-eyed. He started up again. "She took you to the wrong room. Yours is up those stairs. It's the attic." I was confused. "My room?" And then he got up, revealing his smallness, rubbed the sleep out of his eyes and smiled. "Hi. No, no, I'm not him. I'm here for the same reason you are, and your room is upstairs. Follow me." He put on some slippers, grabbed an old cup of coffee, and took me back into the hallway where we proceeded to go up one more less elaborate flight of stairs. My room was quaint. There were two parts, one nearly empty space housing two wardrobes, and it had a long horizontal window close to the ceiling. The next part of the room had to be entered by going through a crawl space-like square door, and this was the part that held my bed. It was a flat mattress on the ground with some yin-yang and peace sign sheets on it. The small reddish man said, "Yes, I know it's not like my room, but I would trade you any day. See this window above your bed? Doesn't look out to where you would imagine it look out to. You might think it overlooks the garden as it appears that way from the facade, but..." His smile seemed genuine enough, a little creepy but sincere. "And the attic is also home to a cat. You'll meet her soon, I bet. But I have to go back to sleep. Our classes start tomorrow." Classes? I wondered what he meant. Was it a boarding school? As I was closing my small square door, a cat marched in and rolled over right away to let me rub her belly. She was the most uniquely colored cat, for she had a light cream body and the occasional gray spot, much like a Dalmatian. Her eyes caught my attention as well. They were icy and bluish white. I guessed that she must be blind. And then before I could meet the beast man or figure out where I was and why I was there, I woke up and craved coffee.
The school thing reminds me, there was a dream someone sent us. I could not find the email because she legitimately sent it shortly after we started the show.
Right.
But I think it was from Melanie. And I'm pretty sure she talked about going to a school.
Oh.
A lot.
Okay.
But I can't remember the specifics of it. Melanie, I think you're still listening to the show. Let us know, because again, we've misplaced that email, but I'm certain she told us about that.
Cool.
Sort of thought the idea that, you know, it's not like his room, but it's better. It's not as grand.
Right.
But it's got a better view.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that translates to her life somehow.
Yeah. That's,
you know,
cool.
She may not have the most grand whatever, but her view,
her insight is going to be different. Yeah. Which, I like that.
I mean, knowing just a little bit about Brett, who's of course an artist, I think, I wonder if that's...
Yeah, she has the unique vision.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. This one is from Brianna. Hello there. I just listened to your show talking about family members passing and saying their goodbyes. I've been seeing spirits since I was a very young child, and it still happens to this day, but I wanted to tell you about my family's goodbyes. When I was 18, my great-grandmother passed. She was an amazing woman who was 99 years old. Her mind was still with her, having 66 grand and great-grandchildren. Holy smokes!
That's prolific.
No kidding. And remembering all of our names and birthdays still. I remember her telling us about when the Titanic sunk. My mother and her were very close. When my grandmother was sick and close to the end, my mom was supposed to go on a work retreat but didn't want to leave her. She had been gone when her grandpa died and never got to say goodbye, so she didn't want this to happen again. My great-grandma said not to worry about her and to not miss work. She knew she loved her. Cut to my mother in a garden at a work retreat. Suddenly, she felt a great warmth cover her, and when she looked up, there was great-grandma, great-grandpa, and her uncle. My great-grandma smiled at her and said they were all okay, they loved her, and to know that rough times were ahead, but everything was going to be okay. My mother knew then that her grandma had passed. 9 months went by, and my twin sister and I were in college. One day I received several phone calls from my mom and older sister. Me, being in college and partying every chance I had, chose to ignore them until I got home and listened to my voicemail. My twin sister had cancer. This changed me in significant ways, mostly for the better because I cleaned up my act very fast.
Mm.
I remember my mom being very calm through the doctor appointments, and one day I asked her how she could stay so calm. She replied only with, "Grandma said everything was going to be fine. My sister had cancer twice but made it through. She's now married and loving life." While she was sick, both our grandfathers passed from cancer, and with everything going on in our lives, I wasn't able to get to them and say goodbye. About 9 years later, I was going through a tough custody battle for my children. Stress was through the roof. Then one night while dreaming, I walked into my grandma's house, which looked exactly the same as always. I walked into the kitchen where my grandma and her sister were cooking. They looked at me and said, "Oh, she's here, better give her some time," and walked out. Now, mind you, my grandma and her sister are still alive. I turned and looked, there was my grandpa, sitting on a stool, just smiling at me. I ran to him and hugged him. I could smell him and feel his hug. Nothing was said the whole time, then he whispered in my ear, "Everything is going to be okay, Beepers." I woke up crying. I knew he was saying the custody battle was going to be okay, and we were going to be okay, and we were. I now don't feel that sick feeling of never saying goodbye. I know it was him because of the emotion I have, even thinking about it.
Nice.
That's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. And the fact that you're her mom... can do that too. Her mom takes comfort from that as well.
Absolutely.
Grandma's saying, sure, it's going to be okay. That's wild.
And this reminds me of something. I wasn't sure where to bring it up, but a little while ago, I was contacted by one of our listeners, Carter. And Carter, I hope you don't mind me saying this on here, but Carter lost his brother very recently.
Right.
And he wanted to know how he could remain open.
Right.
And because he wanted, it was a accidental passing.
Right.
And he wanted to know how we could contact him. And I told him, I said, it's a time thing. It has to come with time.
Yeah.
And you can't guarantee it will happen. But I told him a story of my own, you know, revolving around someone in my family who passed and who I eventually, after many months, got to see and say goodbye to. Someone who died, who I was very close with, who died sort of very suddenly.
Right.
And it was months before in my dreams, I had a chance to see them. And someone else I loved who died very suddenly years later, it was 6 years before I was able to see them in my dreams.
That's a long time.
Yeah. So, but Carter, we just wanted to send our love out to you. Mm-hmm. Say we're thinking, I know we've exchanged a couple messages, but, we know what you're going through. We've both lost people.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah. And,
time is the only thing that helps.
That's it.
Yeah,
but this dream, I thought this is a great time to mention this and just to remind you that these things can come and you just gotta keep living life and be open to it. Just wanted to say that, Carter. Hope you and your family are well.
Mm-hmm. This last story is from Maddie. At the time my grandma passed away, my sister had been living with her and I used to visit them both frequently. The day my grandma died back in June 2013 was one such day. My grandma had already started having her stroke when she let me in the door. She'd started mumblings, having slurred speech, and within about 15 minutes of being at her house, I was on the phone with 911. She passed away about 4 hours later. I loved my grandma, and she was there for my siblings and I during our rough childhood, but she was very obsessive-compulsive. Mental illness and anxiety runs in our family, but she, of course, didn't believe it. She liked to have things a certain way, and she was very stubborn.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Right after she died, I started having dreams where she appeared to me at the front door of her apartment. She told me she wasn't able to come inside and she was very concerned. She wanted to know if my sister and I were okay. She wanted to know what was going on, when her funeral was, who was taking her stuff, what they were doing with it, as well as what the state of her house was. She kept appearing in my dreams for a few nights, and I think it was her way of fretting over her earthly affairs, wanting to know what was going on, since in life she felt the need to be in control of everything, and she was a very anxious person. I feel like her inability to step fully inside her apartment was because she was no longer of this world, and she even had trouble seeing objects that I tried to show her. My family and I had been going through her old photos, and in the dream, I tried showing her the photos, and I distinctly remember her telling me, "Sweetheart, I can't see the photos, but what is everyone doing with my things? What's going on with my house?" In a way, it was almost funny because this was exactly what my grandmother would do, and she did it. Eventually, the dream stopped after a few nights, and I hope my grandma finally got to rest and let us take care of her things.
Maddie also shared a couple other prophetic dreams with us. And Maddie, we absolutely appreciate you sharing with us. But I wasn't able to make the length work for the show, but I want to say thank you so much for sharing it with us. We have one last little short dream. It's just kind of fun. It was from Brett. It says, "Early this morning, I had one of those micro dreams packed with detail. I was even able to time it 5 minutes. It involved a grotesque but pretty much normal girl named Yumber, who was constantly hungry, and she'd squeal, 'I have the Yumbers!'" It was obnoxious.
This made me laugh so hard when we read it. And I actually emailed her back, and I'm like, I'm using that from now on.
I have the Yumbers.
I have the Yumbers. Whenever I'm hungry, I'm just going to. And you know what would make my day? And our fans have come through on this before. Anyone who has any artistic ability, if you can create Yumber for me, I would be a happy man.
Yes.
Because Yumber is now one of my true folk heroes. I'm just, she's grotesque and always hungry, and I can relate.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, that sounds like my spirit animal right there.
And the Yumbers. Oh my God. So funny.
So that's going to do it for the Mythical Dream episode.
Yes.
And I know there are people who sent us dreams, and we, over the years, we have, I probably, Ian's very organized, I have lost them. Someone from Nelson, I cannot remember your name, you sent me a dream that was really interesting.
Yeah.
I believe you sent it via Instagram DM.
Oh, don't do that.
No, I mean, it's okay to message me, that's fine.
Yeah,
but
stuff gets lost.
Stuff gets lost. Yeah. If you're going to send me a story, I would send it to the email ghostoryguys@gmail.com, because yeah, I lose, especially in DMs, I lose things because I don't want to screenshot it because I feel weird. Then it feels like I'm gossiping about you if I'm screenshotting your message. But I should be doing that just to remind myself about these things.
Right.
So if we missed your message, please let us know. If you want us to read it on another show, if you don't mind sending it again, certainly appreciate it. Hate to ask. But just because it's hard to keep track. As the show has grown, the amount of correspondence we received has grown considerably.
Crazy.
Especially after the last episode.
Yeah.
Crossing over, the episode where we described the hospice nurse, Michelle, her dealing with people who have sort of are passing over, really touched a lot of people, which is wonderful. We really just, that means the world to us.
Yeah.
But it means also we get a lot more email. So if we don't get back to, or we take a long time, or if we misplace something, have some pity. It's just,
well, and if I take a long time to respond, I can now say, I have a brain tumor. Like, get off my back.
Oh, he's going to be riding this.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, boy.
You should buy me lunch because I have a brain tumor.
I think you should buy me lunch, because who knows when's the last time you'll have to buy me something. Something nice.
Well, that's a good point.
See?
But no.
Now that's how I know you have a tumor, because you agreed with me. All right. So thank you so much to everyone who sent in their dreams. And again, if you have something you want to share, send it to ghoststoryguys@gmail.com. We will share it on air the next time we do one of these. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have some patron shoutouts and our listener mail. Welcome back. Thanks to our researchers Luke Greensmith and Anthony Germain for their help on this episode.
Always.
Be hooped without those guys.
Yep.
You'll actually get a chance to meet those guys because our bonus episode, which is coming next week, will feature all four of us.
Well, hear them.
You'll hear them, yes.
Yeah. We're not flying anybody in.
No. One day. Once that Patreon gets there.
There you go. Yes.
Which brings me to the patron shoutouts.
Yes.
Of course, we'd like to thank all our patrons, but we would especially like to thank our new patrons, who are Aaron White,
Rachel Kelsey,
Nomi Cisneros,
Eileen,
Jackie Fitzpatrick,
Scott Roop,
Maddie,
Emily Austria,
Danny Deemer,
Jackie Lipp,
Evan Prill,
John Watson,
and Glenn Subert. Thank you so much for helping us out, you guys. We can't tell you how much we appreciate it. You guys help us pay the bills and, just make life a hell of a lot easier.
Absolutely.
For the Ghost Story guys.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
There was something we wanted to touch on, though. We had some patrons, because patrons come and go.
Yeah.
And we had an email from a patron who had to curtail her subscription. And, you know, she apologized.
Yeah.
And we want you guys to know, we appreciate the support.
Yeah.
But don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
We get it.
Like, you know, if you either can't afford it anymore, or you think, you know what, this is not where I'm at anymore.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Well, January, people trying to save money after Christmas.
Sure.
Like, we get it.
100%. As long as you'll listen to the show, we appreciate it. You know,
I mean, this isn't a, you know, please quit us.
No. Jesus, no. We sure love money. But we don't want you to think that's a sort of a requirement for being part of the group. We appreciate you no matter what. And I mean, sure, patrons do get extra stuff. They get the water cooler where Ian and I talk about food and movies and whatever the hell else we've been doing.
Yeah.
You know, and they get Luke Lore will be coming up.
Yeah. And what do the $20 patrons get, Brennan?
$20 patrons get a copy. They get 3 photo postcards of my night photography.
Which, they look amazing.
The
printing came out so beautiful. The
printer did a hell of a job.
Yeah.
And they get a copy, the high-res copy.
Yes.
Which is not available anywhere else. Of your 1995 smash hit Christian country album, Aware of Wonder.
And why do they get this? Because Ian finally found the stupid computer files.
Ian finally found the files.
On an old backup hard drive.
So to our patrons who have been very patiently waiting
Thank
for
you.
This.
Thank you.
And we will get those to you immediately.
Yeah.
And then new patrons, you'll get those right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, 10 and above gets you access to our live shows. And I know we haven't been very good at keeping up with that, but we are working on scheduling those once a month and making a thing of it so it's regular. You know when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And have a little more substance than just, I think last time was really great. It was me and a couple gals, we were talking about books.
Nice.
And it was fun. It was a lot of fun, but I want to make it more inclusive. It'll probably be based on Patreon because I've discovered they have a live stream feature.
Who knew?
Yeah, it's been there the whole time, but I'm a big goober.
No, just say it's new.
Yeah, it's new. Yeah,
yeah,
new.
They just put it in.
Cough. But so anyways, I want to thank you so much for participating, so much for helping us out. But again, if you can't, that's fine. You know, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts during the break, and there's this one show I listen to, I won't say which, but their Patreon is significant, but it represents maybe 1% to 2% of their total audience.
Mm.
And their fans are, some of them are pretty toxic.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not contributing, they're just listening.
Yeah.
And it really, I've always appreciated the people who listen to our show. But
amazing people.
Really, really hammered home how lucky we are, because we don't have, to the best of our knowledge, we don't have toxic fans. We've never had.
If we do, they're not saying anything, and that's just fine.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I mean, the only people who've ever given a shit over anything, I think, in one case, I think the person was being too sensitive.
Yeah.
In another, she was right, and we told her that, and we copped to it on air.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and someone else in one of the iTunes reviews had something to say. And she's wrong, and I'm not gonna address it here. But you're wrong. You're too sensitive. I love you, and I hope you still listen to the show. But you got to get over yourself.
Yeah.
But still, we have such great fans. I don't want you guys to think that you have to pay to participate.
Right.
As long as you're listening, sending us stories, hanging out, we are so happy with that.
And we really are lucky. I know, because I read all the emails.
Yes, of course.
And it's just good people. And we have so many invites now to stay in all kinds of places all over the world. It's amazing. Yeah,
they do that now until they realize we're actually going to take them up on
it. Yeah, they do that because they don't think we're really going to show up.
But raid all their food.
We're collecting on that free food offer. So
soon as it happens.
When we can scrape the airfare together, watch out.
That's right.
We will be on your door demanding enchiladas. So that's the way that's going to work.
All right, time for some listener mail.
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you.
All right, so we had a lot of email during the break. So we wanted to thank for all their kind words and all their stories, which we'll be sharing in the days to come. Maddie, Ruth, Shelby, Rachel, Rin, Mel, Tyler, Tori, Tabitha, Hannah, Teresa, Erica, Allison, Charles, Brianna, Jessica, and Jim. And thank you so much, everyone. We've got so many great stories.
Mm-hmm.
We're definitely planning a listener story episode probably sometime in April.
Yep.
So keep them coming.
Yep.
And these are just the people who've sent us emails. I know there's a lot of people who sent us messages on Facebook, sent me messages on Instagram. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
One last thing. We received a message from a listener named Chelsea. And this happened a little while ago, and I kept forgetting to bring it up on the show because I'm bad at this. Chelsea's been dealing with the unexpected death of some pets in her house.
Hmm.
And she believes, she said it's not carbon monoxide, it's not anything like that. So she wanted to know if there are any listeners out there who've had an experience with entities hurting small animals
in their home. Yeah, I've heard of that.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, absolutely. A whole tank full of fish and two dogs.
Really?
Yeah, all in the space of about 6 months.
So what did you do?
Nothing. They moved.
Really?
Yeah. It just was really awful and really upsetting for them. The dogs were really part of the family.
Yeah.
So they got out of there. And actually, friends of mine bought a house to flip it. And I went there and felt something really uncomfortable there. But they didn't ask me, and neither of them are very sensitive to these things, so I didn't say anything.
Right.
But in the space of that 1 year living on that property, both of their dogs passed away as well.
Oh my god.
Yeah, really unexpectedly.
So there's no solution that you're aware of?
Not if you're someone who's not able to sense that stuff.
Right.
But if you are and you're concerned, I would suggest like smudging or cleansing of something.
Right.
For sure.
Okay, well, Chelsea, there you go. I'm sorry it took this long to get it on the show.
That's really upsetting.
Sometimes I forget.
I'm sorry about your pets.
Absolutely, yeah. That would break my heart. That's going to do it for listener mail. Next, I wanted to say congratulations to Peter and his wife, Mary. They are parents.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a couple nights ago in Moscow, they had their first child.
Nice. Russian baby.
Young Alex.
Excellent.
He's a good-looking kid. He sent me some pictures.
That's amazing.
So congratulations to those two. You guys, you made yourself a cute little kid.
That's awesome.
What else? What else? I guess it's been, we don't really have much coming up.
No.
No, we've got, it's pretty.
I'm doing 2 ghost walks in February. That's it. Just to stay in practice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to go on those ghost walks with Ian, you can send us an email at ghoststoryguys@gmail.com.
I'll send we'll you the dates.
Put you in touch.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank our musical guests, Hexagram, for using their songs Crystal Lake and There Are No Answers. Those are both from their brand new album, Crystal Lake, which you can find at hexagram.bandcamp.com, also on all the major streaming platforms. Crystal Lake is what you heard during the bumpers, and as we go out, what you'll be hearing is There Are No Answers.
Nice.
And it's just they're both great songs. I love the album. And There Are No Answers particularly has an organ at the end of it that just, I saw the wave, they sent me a picture of the waveform in the actual software, and it's massive.
Cool.
Because it's an actual organ.
Oh,
it's not a synth. Definitely check out that album. You're doing yourself a favor. And as I understand it, they've already started working on the next album.
Wow, awesome.
So some exciting stuff coming from those guys. And I believe there are videos on the way too. So thank you to Hexagram. Now, I guess that's going to do it.
There you go.
We'll be back in a week with our bonus episode. And until then,
into the darkness we go. All I can think of now is you pitch shifting your voice, and it's like, I love boobies. That's all I can.
That is all that's going the worst me. Thing you've ever said. Okay, it's not saying. The worst thing, but it's pretty bad. Yoo-hoo! Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, it's been a long break.
It has been a long break. Strap in, folks. It's going to be a long episode. Come, come, my lady. Come, come, my lady. You're my butterfly. Oh, yeah.
In that voice to a baby.
What?
I'm rubbing against the table. Where's your microphone?
Oh, these are expensive. I'm not going to do that. All right, I'll behave. Smart ass.
Jesus. What are they doing? I'm bowling up there?
Sure, I don't want to know.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Race to savings for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the comfort and support you need with a new mattress from Serta. Find the perfect mattress for a deep and restorative night's sleep. Take control of your sleep and save big money on Serta mattresses now at Menards. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on more great deals happening now.
Save big.